Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. Now, Wellness Wednesday, we're going to talk about a new Irish business which is helping to take the stress out of funeral arrangements by bringing the wishes of the deceased more clearly into picture. We have to talk about it because the old saying goes, there's only two guarantees in life, death and taxes. Neither are great fun. Let's be honest about that. Right, let Anya Tuffy is manager of My Farewell Wishes. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And also in studio with me is Sean Murphy of Inishon Funeral Services. Hi, Sean.
Thank you.
Right. I think often presenters, when they start talking about death, planning your death, funerals, the default position is we're not really good at talking about death. Do you think that's the case, Anya? Or do we really are so busy with life that we just don't have time to talk about death?
I think it can often depend on the age of the person. Younger people, I'm including myself in that, but younger people don't...
Are you including me and Sean?
Well, I think I know Sean's the same age as me because I went to school with
That's
him.
That's okay then.
But yeah, I think people of our age don't necessarily want to talk about it because it feels like it's so far in the future for us. But yet our parents are often people who want to talk about that, who are organised and who want to make their wishes known and just plan ahead.
Mm. But in other areas of life, like say, for instance, organ donation, right? You know, we're challenged to think about that regardless of what age we are, because life is fleeting and we never know what might happen, or even preparing a will. But we're not great at either of that, are we? So maybe we aren't really too prepared to sort of contemplate our passing.
It can be a tough subject to think about. And as you said, it's something that's guaranteed to happen to all of us. But we like to think that we'll go off in our sleep when we're well into our 80s and that we don't want to have to think about something like that.
Yeah. Okay. What's your view, Sean?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. What my farewell wishes is, you see a lot of hand-ons with families. What did mommy want? And at least you can have your wishes there and writing. And it's a lot easier for the funeral director on my behalf that we know what they want.
Yeah.
Whereas you can have different scenarios. Families have nobody belonging to them. They want to know what their wishes are going to be carried forward. Mm. I think it's a way forward.
Yeah, because in that moment, if there's a number of siblings, people have their own different relationships, people have their own way of grieving, and people have their own interpretation of the wishes of a deceased person.
Yes, that's correct, yeah. A lot of different scenarios. You could have a family with maybe somebody with special needs, and the family has nobody else to look after their wishes, and they know when their time's gone that there'll be somebody to look after their siblings as well as everything else.
Yeah, and it settles, and as you say, there's no end of scenarios. Another one could be a partner.
Yes.
Their view could be at odds with a brother or sister or mum or dad.
Exactly.
And I don't think any of us would want to leave back behind us that uncertainty.
Yes.
When people are in the throes of grief at the same time as well.
Correct, yeah.
Right, tell us how this works then, Anya.
So My Farewell Wishes was set up, we started looking into this 2 years ago. There was a UK-based company in the Irish market that was more towards prepaying for the funeral. But after Brexit, they pulled out of the Irish market. They still will honour plans that have been taken out, but they weren't taking on new customers. So I actually work for a funeral director ourselves, and we have a service company where we provide different consultancy services to funeral directors. And several of them came to us and asked us, what can we do now? Where can we go? Is there anything else? So we decided to investigate setting this up. So it took 2 years to investigate and to set up. And €100,000 worth of investment in legal fees, etc., just to set up the trust fund. So My Farewell Wishes works. We want to focus, though, on the wishes rather than the payment, because that's really where we think a lot of people are more interested in. They have...
This country's a little bit more complicated. Like, someone might have a credit union loan, for an example, and I think most credit unions have... They have some contribution to whatever. I'm just trying to give examples. I think just this market, it just is, people, I don't know if we're really prepared to start prepaying for our funerals. Maybe that's what your research found.
Certain people now would like to put away some money towards it, but we definitely found that the wishes was what was more important to people, making sure that their wishes were carried out and to take some of the burden off their families. When the time comes, there's pre-planning and then there's at need when someone has passed away. And we estimate that in the first meeting with the funeral director, there can be up to 50 questions. Sean would agree with that.
And we'll get into that, but I presume what this does is post someone's passing, rather than two other parties that might have different points of view, so there's a third voice in there, and that is the voice of the deceased. Now, obviously, these wishes, I presume, aren't legally binding, but they're part of that conversation now, even after their passing, which I think is really critical in resolving any, not necessarily conflict, but any disagreement or conflict of opinion.
That's it. And it just makes it a little bit easier for people as well, for a family, if they didn't know what mammy or daddy would have wanted. Well, at least it's written down here. It's what they would like, because most people organising a funeral, their main goal is to just make sure that it's what they would have wanted.
Yeah.
So at least if you know what they wanted, it just takes a wee bit of that burden off them.
I presume, Sean, for the most part, you know, not for the most part, there are different types of people. There are people that maybe just throw all of the, well, what normally happens, what do you think we should do? You know, and it, I hate to use the word routine, but you know what I mean. There is a format there. And then you will meet, then you will engage with others who've got, they've that's completely it's thrown out. They've got their whole idea and they expect you to be able to sort of, comply with and make sure that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, you could find different scenarios and some can be very challenging. But as I say again, my farewell wishes, if that's all wrote down and set in stone, it's a lot easier for us to organise funerals, and I think it's a better way forward.
Right, so how does it work then? Say it was I was going to engage with the service. So who do I meet? You? Do I meet Sean?
You can meet either. You can get in touch with Sean or ourselves. We will find then a funeral director in your local area and we will give you the form. We have worked for a long time on the form.
Is that there? Is it?
Yeah.
Can you throw that over? No, you're going to hand me just as we were going on air, but we were short on time. But go ahead.
You're okay.
Anya.
My boss would often say when he's talking about it, there was blood, sweat and tears, and all the tears were mine. We wrote and we rewrote the form so many times just to try and educate people about their options and what's available. Some people, as you say, and especially if you don't know what a person wanted or if you don't have much time, as is in the case of Irish funerals, you tend to go with the default, the familiar. But if someone wants something different, then they can read through all their options of everything that can be done, you know.
So typically, is it whether someone wants to be buried or cremated? Is it whether they want to be buried beside which partner or whatever it might be? Do you know what I mean? Like, is that the kind of stuff, the questions that are in there? What else are typical tough questions?
We would ask the bigger questions first, the main questions. So burial or cremation, ceremony or no ceremony. The main questions like that. And then we go into that. You can go right down into the nitty gritty of what you'd like to have done with your ashes, if you'd like to leave mementos of a fingerprint impression. Some people have told us, have written their own eulogies. Some people have specified what they'd like to have done with their ashes after cremation. There was one lady who would like them scattered while a certain song is playing. You know, you can get more creative ahead of time rather than just falling back on default.
I like this personal wishes thing.
Yeah,
I don't want to pick it out in case it frames it, because there's a lot of details in there, but it's down to flowers. Would you like people to send flowers? Would you like to choose the exact type of coffin? So do I choose it now or let my family decide? Would I like a funeral notice on? Because some people are more private than others, aren't they? Even where would you like to be published? Would you like a photo to be used? Do you want symbols of any hobbies or interests that you would like to have incorporated into your funeral? We do that, but for some people, they might go, well, that's not exactly the kind of send-off that I would like. Would you like it live streamed? Like, it really gets in. Now, I'm literally just on one page here. It really gets into it. This is a full review of what someone might want.
Yeah, we have two different options then of forms. I'd say, I think you're looking at the long form there. And we have sometimes...
I'm very studious.
Sometimes people then
I'll get the
just
short
think...
Format.
Yeah, sometimes people think that's too many questions
just
and it
basics.
Can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
So we created the short form for people who just want to record their basic wishes or who want to have a meeting with the funeral director and
there's still quite a bit in there as well. Okay, so it's as deep, because the long form goes into things like whether you want bagpipes or release of doves or something that looks like them. Do you know what I mean? That type of stuff. The short form is more the key questions.
Yeah.
So then I fill this all out with you or an undertaker?
Whichever you want. It's up to you. And then we do two different services. So the registration of wishes is €65 is the charge for that. And we keep your wishes on our database. We'll send you a copy. You nominate a representative. So that's the person that you expect will be organising your funeral. and a funeral director if you'd like to nominate one. And each of those will get a copy of your wishes. Then if you want to pay towards the cost of your funeral, we have a trust fund, and we're still actively signing up funeral directors in Donegal. We have 4 different partners at the minute in Donegal. So you can pay towards the cost of your funeral if you wish, and that's whatever amount.
How is this being received? Because maybe traditionalists might think, well, that's not really, they kind of like that, and they not like it, but they like maybe that first conversation going through this, they feel that's part of the connection that they have. Are you getting that, or, you know, I mean, obviously you're still signing undertakers up, but what kind of feedback are you getting from them?
The feedback is great, actually, because you can still, you know, it's not like Sean would agree with that. You don't just go, here's the form, I know what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, if undertakers have a great way with people, and they'll still sit down and they'll have the form in front of them, and they'll be able to go through and say, well, it says here that
it's guidance,
would like this.
It's guidance. Yeah. And it's real strong guidance, isn't it? Because it's the person's words themselves and their wishes. I hate to be negative, right, but it's just the type of question that jumps into my mind. I wish you every success with this, okay? But let's just say, for instance, I fill it out and live for another 25 years, but you decide you want to wind down the company. What happens in that regard? Have you any sort of, contingency for that?
Well, the wishes are registered with, you know, yourself, your representative and your funeral director will always have a copy of that.
Okay,
and even
cool.
In the case that the funeral director may go under, you know, we've written all that into the terms and conditions.
I cannot believe she just said a funeral director might go under. But anyway, go on.
Oh, there are endless jokes in this book. don't put me off.
No, go on.
So we've written all that into the terms and conditions for all those. We've tried to think of every possibility that might happen, so that everyone will still have a copy of your wishes.
Yeah.
If you have paid towards the cost of your funeral, that is held by a trust fund.
Mm. Exactly, which is great. Now, you see, this is not, and I think you kind of maybe mentioned this a little earlier on, Anya. Say, for instance, someone's in their 30s or 40s or 50s. You know, this is advisable. But I know that people, even in really good health, maybe when they're heading towards their late 70s, or they start worrying about things like this, even though it's not imminent, and we hope it's not, right? But I think it's a different sort of maybe a concern, because they start worrying about, well, I don't want to put stress on my family, or I don't want... I think for the living... that this would be a great peace of mind. Does that make sense, Sean? Do you get where I'm coming from?
100%,
and it could be at any age, but I'm thinking back to my dad, and, you know, it was long before he passed away, right? But I know certain things were sort of, from our conversations over a pint, were starting to play in his mind a little bit, that there was maybe a reality dawning. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I had clients before, and until they had their wishes done, it was a peace of mind for them.
Yeah.
Because they were worrying... they might change my plans, and I want it in set and writing, and it was just the relief that person got.
I can park that now. Hopefully another 20 years,
exactly.
But I don't have to worry.
And
about
she says
that
it's just a relief off my shoulders.
Yeah,
and it's just.
What do you think the uptake will be?
The uptake has been very strong.
Oh, you're already going. You're putting
that
out there already.
So we've been processing plans since November. We started off slowly just to get all our
soft
procedures
launch,
and
as they call it,
exactly,
isn't it?
To get everything in place and make sure that when the madness happens, that we're ready for it. But there has been a great uptake in it, I have to say. Now, we're very, very happy with it. And even with our own funeral directors, once people know that you offer this service and that it's available, it starts the conversation.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, like I think it's today'd be a good day for me to fill this out. Tomorrow I'll probably go, no, I'm not talking about that. Do you know?
Exactly.
That's just the way it is. But if people get the forms when they feel in the mood,
exactly,
they can. And would you suggest people might fill this out at home and then present it to their undertaker or contact you? Is that how you expect it to work?
Yeah, exactly. You can either contact us or a funeral director directly, and then have the form, have a read over the pack at home. And then the person can decide if they want to fill it out with the funeral director, or they can fill it out themselves at home if they want to get a bit more creative.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely something that people can take their time over. And I know Sean was saying about the peace of mind that people get from planning. And I've done a few plans with people either over the phone or in person. And there's a sigh. They do this.
Yeah.
Just a sigh of relief.
Well, the anticipation of most things is worse than the actual thing itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is what they say. And you said about this is not necessarily the primary focus about paying for it in advance. But if people want to do that, they can do so and the money is secure so that that is an expense that they're not leaving behind them.
Exactly. They can get an estimate for the cost of the wishes that they have detailed and then pay towards it. They choose an amount that they pay. We're different to the sort of the insurance providers or what you might see in some of the daytime television, the UK-based providers, where maybe if you stop paying that your money is gone.
And I think also really that's designed for get you in a casket, you know, cremation, or you know what I mean? I don't think that affords you the personalisation of your last your last ride, I suppose you could call it. All right, OK, how do people get more information?
So they can check out our website, myfarewellwishes.ie. They can check out then, we have our partners on it. So we have Sean in Sean Funeral Services. We have McAteers in Fannet. We have Terence McClintock in Convoy. And we have Andrew Gallagher in Mount Charles at the minute. And we're still, we have a few other Donegal funeral directors interested in taking up our service.
And again, this will kind of fill out organically because you might have someone who contacts their undertaker and asks, do you have this facility? And then they go, right, well, Sean has it, I better provide that option too. That's kind of how the market responds, you would hope, wouldn't
exactly.
you?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It's really very interesting. How do people get their hands on this booklet?
So if they get in touch with us via our website or our Facebook page, we're on all the social medias as well, and we'll get brochures or packs, whatever, sent out to them and get them in touch with their nearest partner funeral director.
Yeah, and it's not as scary to hold as I thought it might be. I already know my wishes and they are simple. I'm not sure what I want, or I want to know more or have detailed wishes. Those are the, you know, I think you're covering all bases there, and then you take people through that process. Right. So are we getting better about talking about death? Or, as I say, I'll start off, finish with the question we started. Maybe we're already quite comfortable about it.
Yeah, I think the younger generation are more willing to talk about it.
Mm.
And they're more curious too, is what I find. You know, they'll ask questions that their parents wouldn't have asked. You know, they'll ask more. They want to know what happens maybe behind the scenes or how things happen, rather than maybe the generation before that were afraid. Oh, don't, you know, don't talk about that. You know, they didn't want to talk about the finer details of what happens.
Yeah.
But younger people are much more interested. And that's one route that we would like to go down next, is to educate people on all aspects of funerals and what's available in a tasteful way too, though.
Okay. You know, and there's no need for any red flag element to this, is there, just in case someone is planning their passing?
We do have a code of conduct
In
the funeral director terms and conditions that says, you know, if you feel that there's a person that maybe there's just something not adding up here, that a person maybe isn't,
it's not done for
in
exactly
the best place,
either.
That, you know, just to be very gentle with them.
Brilliant, okay, that's brilliant. Sorry for asking that, but you know yourself,
right.
I just think it's important.
Yeah.
Anything else either of you want to add?
Nope.
I think we've covered it all, didn't we?
I think we're good, yeah.
All right, Anya Tuffy, manager of My Farewell Wishes, and Sean Murphy of Inishone Funeral Services. Both of you, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been an interesting conversation. All right, we'll be back with more shortly. So a lot of people following very closely the missing submarine, and there are developments ongoing. Banging has been heard. They believe it is done in an organised fashion. This is the missing Titanic sub, by the way. So more search help has arrived after that banging sound heard in the Titanic sub. Martin Phillips is an author and journalist at Martin Phillips Media and joins us on the programme now. Martin, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it greatly.
You're very welcome, Greg.
Before we talk about this ongoing search, what's been your experience of deep diving in a sub?
So I dived down to Titanic back in 2001 in a three-man Russian sub. So I know something of the experience, but none of the terror that they would have they would be going through now.
Yes,
good to hear that there may be some development.
What is it like? It's a long descent, isn't it? I imagine it's claustrophobic, and you have to go in with your eyes wide open because it is incredibly dangerous. What was your experience like?
So we were informed in no uncertain terms beforehand of some of the dangers. It's an oxygen-enriched atmosphere in the pressurized sub, so danger of fire. So we're in fire retardant overalls. And the main thing is the pressure. I mean, it's 380 atmospheres at 5,500 pounds per square inch down there. So you are relying on the strength of the submersible because any slight defect and you could just implode. That was all spelt out to us. And yeah, then when the hatch shuts and you start to sink, it's a little nerve-wracking when you consider where you're going.
And you descended, you saw the wreck, and very thankfully you ascended and are safe, because we're talking to you right now. On reflection, and perhaps maybe parking this story to one side for a moment, overall, was it worth it to you? Do you reflect and go saying, right, I did the right thing, or do you sort of feel, right, I got away with that, perhaps it wasn't quite worth it?
No, absolutely, I'd do it again. It's the most incredible experience, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that so few people get a chance to do. And I totally understand the driving force behind the five who have dived down to Titanic on this expedition.
Yeah, and I hope it's not inappropriate in me asking this, but once you did descend, and this is what drew these people to this, what did you witness? Can you describe visually what it was like to be at that depth, looking at this? Everyone knows what the Titanic is, this truly historic piece of history. Like, what how clear was it, and what was it like for you?
Quite breathtaking. We sunk, as you said, for 2 hours like a stone, in pitch darkness, with just a sort of echoing ping of the sonar, and then when we reached the seabed, our Russian pilot put on the lights to sort of illuminate a sort of lunar-like landscape. But we motored across the sand for a very short while before we came against a wall of black, which I didn't appreciate at the time was Titanic, but obviously the pilot knew. We rose and rose, and then suddenly, within arm's length of where I was, looking through a 7-inch thick porthole, was the bow rail of Titanic.
No.
Just astonishing. And then to travel over this, the wreck, look inside the captain's cabin because the wall's fallen in. I knew all the stories of Titanic, and here's history unfolding in front of me.
Difficult to grasp the reality of it, I would imagine. It's all the otherworldly. Yeah.
Just astonishing and so haunting to look through some of the wreck is covered in rusticles where bacteria are eating the metal, but they're like tears crying down the sides of the windows, and you just wonder about what went on behind those windows. It's a truly extraordinary experience.
And do you get a sense that this is the resting place for a lot of people? This is their cemetery, so to speak.
It's difficult. I mean, there are no nutrients in the water down there, so everything is absorbed. So there's nothing.
No,
there's
I understand. Yeah, but.
But yeah, you absolutely. It is, it is. It is a grave site, and you treat it with that respect. I mean, anything we took with photographs.
I suppose just in terms of the plight of the five at the moment, and it's ongoing, if this banging turns out to be them, and it would make great sense to conserve energy and only do it intermittently, and there is sort of precedent for that, so they're sending a message. So that would suggest there could have been a motor failure or something, and they could well be still alive in this sub. Would it likely have sunken to the floor of the ocean, would you say, Martin?
I would think so. When we dived, we knew there was no one coming to rescue us in the event of an emergency, because no one else could get down that far. The only real recourse we had in an emergency was to drop the battery, the heavy battery, which was our sort of ballast, and hope to float to the surface. I'm sure if that was an option, they would possibly have something similar now. Yes, I would expect them to be on the bottom, but you're not familiar with all the technology of the latest submersible.
No, of course. And the one thing that just that I couldn't get my head around, Martin, now obviously there's the depth and the distance and all that type of stuff, but I would have thought from a technological point of view that we would have developed a system whereby they would have beacons or distresses or something that would might be able to identify where they are. Is that technologically not possible because of the depth of the water? Or, you know, I mean, why should it be like searching for a needle in a haystack? I would have thought, because obviously your options are so limited, that all resources would be to make you more findable in the event of such a situation.
You would guess so, but communication does remain the major problem. I mean, certainly when I dive, we were told that more people have been into space than have died deep in the ocean. It's still a different, it's an alien world down there, and 2 miles of water to try and communicate through. I mean, if they're picking up sonar signals, that's incredible in itself.
Right.
But yeah, the communication does seem still to be an issue.
Right, okay. Well, we know that if they are alive, and we pray they are, I think, that their oxygen levels are dropping, but carbon dioxide levels are increasing, which is perhaps what the greatest challenge is. And even if they were pinpointed, Martin, can they be, you talked about so few vessels capable of going down, what might a rescue operation look like if there is one?
Again, I'm not sure on that. There are underwater robots which apparently have the ability to move a submersible of this size, which seems incredible to me. But if one hopes that is the case, because there aren't, say, too many submersibles available to go down and effect a rescue, we can only hope.
Exactly, and I think that is what we have left. They knew going into this that it was high risk, I suppose, but still that doesn't lessen the trauma and everything that they're going through, Martin.
No, indeed.
Okay. Thank you so much for your insight, and thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. And like you, we're all following this really closely. Thanks, Martin. Martin Phillips, author and journalist at Martin Phillips Media, in speaking to him, and certainly when he descended to the wreck of the Titanic in 2001, that was just 4 years after the film was released, by the way. At that time, if still not now, less people have been to the Titanic than have been in space. Really, which is quite remarkable, isn't it? But to descend 2 miles downwards through water, I suppose now it starts to make sense as to why communication is so difficult. Okay, a couple of comments, then a break, then Kieran. Great idea. My mother-in-law died a few years ago. The men in the house were no good, left everything to the younger sister, and I didn't want to choose a coffin. But when it was over and the bills came, you know, the rest of the lot to be said for advanced planning. We as funeral directors have been doing this for years indeed, and your clients and people that you engage with will know that. This is another layer of service, and I suppose it'll either be a success or not. If a member joins a credit union before the 70th birthday and have a certain amount in their account, they receive death benefit insurance. Every credit union has a certain amount in their account. Example, Liffitt Credit Union is 25 in your account. Indeed, it doesn't cover necessarily all of the costs in my experience, but it's there. Greg, people will stop insuring their houses the same as people stopped insuring their cars. You're obliged to insure your car. You can't go out on the road. I don't know if you're obliged to have house insurance, are you? But, you know, you're the one left picking up the pieces if you don't have it. Can we wish the best to the 2023 London Mary who was selected last night? Erin Doohan from Glack Creasler from All in London. Well done, Erin. That is taking place at the start of August. Delighted to say I'm involved in that again too, I think, unless I get sacked between now and then, on the judging panel. There's a new crew looking after it as well. Some brilliant people. You have to change it now and again, maybe. I don't know, ins and outs. It was very successful any time I've been involved with it, by the way. But it's exciting. The Marys have been picked now, and that all kicks off the start of August. It really, you know, you're in the summer, don't you, when Mary from Dunlow starts again. I don't know if it's public or not, but there's some good news in relation to that and how people will be able to watch it and stuff as well, I think. But I can't say in case it was said to me on the private. But we'll be talking about that, I'm sure, between... In fact, we're actually broadcasting on the Friday of it We're broadcasting live from Dunloe. I am going to be allowed out of the studio a couple of times over the summer. I can't wait. And also, I mentioned in passing yesterday about doing this show or a version of it from the top of Errigal. I don't think it's ever been done before. Come off air. The CEO says that's a great idea. Let's make it happen. Kevin, who would be involved in the technical side of things, says, yeah, I'd love that. It's a challenge. Caroline's all for it. I think it's going to happen in August. You know, I think we're going to take the show up to the top of Errigal. So maybe you just want to come with us. Do you want to climb with us? Should we all go up together? Shall we do that? Would you be interested in that? Maybe you're fundraising for something. You want to tie it in with us going up? We can interview up the top of Errigal or something. I'm open to ideas. So if you want to tie in with us in some way or other, in terms of doing this show from the top of Errigal, never been done before, not even sure if it can be done. I'm not even sure I'll get up. But anyway, I think we're going to do it in August. So if you want to tie in with it in some way or other, let us know. 086 60 25,000, or better off, call Caroline because it's better in conversation. 07491 25,000. So we're going up to Errigal, are we, in August? We are. Caroline's nodding, yes. So if anyone wants to come up with ideas as to how you could feature on the show, come up with us, climb with us. How many can go up? I don't know. Let's just see where it goes. Be part of it. Help us organise it and come up with your suggestions and stuff, because we're going to do it. And you could be part of, I daren't say the word history, but you'd certainly be part, as far as I'm aware, open to correction, of Broadcasting First, the first show ever broadcast from the highest point in Donegal. Would you like to be a part of that in some way or other? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Preferably, if you wanted to go up and you could fit me in a backpack. You know, like one of those things they have from the babies at the front? I'm about 12 and a half stone, 5'11.5". I can squeeze 6 foot out of the right pair of shoes. Maybe a couple of you could carry me up. That would be really nice. But all jokes aside, if you want to get involved in that, or you think you've got some ideas, it's just happened spontaneously yesterday. Get in touch with us. It's going to be, I'm not going to go up there. I'm not going to climb the top of Mount Errigal and have a row with Charlie McConnellogue, right? So don't worry about that. We'll go up there and have a bit of fun, a bit of crack. Would he come up and chat to me? I don't know. I'm still on the blacklist. Right. Charlie McGarvey on Facebook says, no, I'll come back to that because it's not in the tone of my last conversation. Right, okay. 07491 25,000. Be part of it. Get involved with it. Contact Caroline now. My guest now is Brian Kelly of Neve Padraig GA Club. Muff. Good morning, Brian. I don't know where to start with you. I think I'll start with you and your wife and this amazing fundraiser that you undertook for Pieta House. I know that's not primarily why we invited you on, but 5K a day, every day in May, an amazing thing to do, Brian.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. I look, in my daytime job as head of corporate social responsibility for TCS in Letterkenny, I'm always organising and asking our TCS associates to volunteer for community projects and community activities as part of our TCS Good Corporate Citizenship strategy. We're always asking for people to get involved with the local charities and local community groups. And one of our aims that I lead here in Letterkenny and across Ireland is to try and bridge the gap between our business objectives and what our community needs are. And I'm always asking for volunteers. So I just said, you know what? It's about time I did a wee project on my own and sort of lead by example, et cetera, when it comes to engaging with the community and with charities. So Grania, my wife, and I decided to do this 5K a day, every day, to raise funds for Pieta House. To raise funds and awareness for suicide and self-harm prevention services, which Pieta House provide free of charge. And that is their aim. They have enough funds raised so they'll always be free of charge for those people in crisis. And, you know, we've all known people who are in crisis, and it's, you know, something that touches every one of us every day and every family across Donegal and across Ireland. So It was 5K. It doesn't sound very difficult, in fairness, but
I think 5K every day in May is all right, Brian. I don't think you need to play this down here. I think it's quite impressive. Providing you did 5K every day in May.
Not for speed, you know. So.
I hear you.
Yeah, it was during this time we started walking. My wife, in fairness, walks regularly, and she started taking the plastic bag and the gloves with her when she's walking. I know that it's called plogging when you go jogging and you pick up litter. I don't know what the word for walking and picking up litter is, but yeah. The first day we went out, I was amazed on the roads. You don't see it when you're driving around the main roads or the back roads, even when you know when you're driving. But when you walk and you know you're looking around you and a bit more and taking a bit more in, it's awful. It's I was shocked at the level of litter.
Any drink bottles, plastic bottles, cans, coffee cups, takeaway stuff, just thrown out the window.
Yeah, beer cans, wine bottles. Unbelievable what people are throwing out the window.
Right.
Now we used to do this once a year with the Gaelic Club here in Muff. And quite recently, we set up a group of Gaelica in the Gaelic Club. And one of the tasks from the Gaelic Club was, with regards to the group of Gaelica, was to get more involved as members within in the community. So it sort of, there was killing two birds with the one stone. So I said, you know what, it's the same. We brought the bag the second day we went for a walk and we did the same area. And it was the same litter. You know what I mean? The next day we went back, it was there again.
So to some extent, it must be the same people. And Brian, I'm sorry to move this forward because Kieran's coming in to talk about business in a second. So as much as all the clubs and organisations coming together to pick up litter, is this a sort of a unified message to litter louts to stand up to them as well and say, look, we're doing this now, but watch what we're doing here. We're not looking to come back and do this next week again. We're looking for you to take a bit of responsibility, take your crap home and put it in your bin.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. We're asking all the local clubs from the Gaelic Club in Muff, Redcastle United, Quigley's Point Swifts, the Irish the Scouts, the Irish Red Cross Youth Team, Redcastle Clean Coast, Muff Community Development, and Group of Gaelica. All these groups are coming together in their club gear this weekend, 23rd, 24th, 25th of June. To pick up the litter, yes, but to make a stand to people, you know, this isn't on in our community,
right.
And it's not a good thing to do. Now, in fairness, the county council are fantastic, and
they always come up with the bags and the pickers and stuff. In fairness,
they're brilliant.
Pick up the rubbish as well,
and they've organised three pickup points for the rubbish as well. So, and our local councillor here, Terry Crossan, has played a main role in that as well with the council. But look, you know, it's terrible that we have to do this. But it's the same. I mean, we did it last summer. We were doing it as part of the yearly cleanup with the Gaelic Club. And there was a car drove past as we were doing it.
No.
Slowed down
no.
and threw more stuff out
oh,
the window.
My word. Okay.
There's more
so
for you.
So how do people get off. Involved just in the last throw? And I might invite you back on next week, if that's all right, Brian, just
to
reinforce the message when we've more time, but also sort of give us an idea who got involved and how much rubbish was collected. But if anyone, I know you've reached out to the clubs and they've reached out to the members, but if anyone wants to get involved, when, where, how?
Well, they can contact me on 087-795-1532. And they can follow the posters that are all over social media and in all local businesses in Muff, Quigley's Point, Redcastle, Drum, Clare, Iskeheen, etc.
Brilliant, Brian. We'll do a follow-up. Well done to you and Granny as well, too, for your great initiative in May. Have a lovely day and a great weekend. Take care. Okay, Kieran O'Donnell's with us. Hiya, Kieran.
Good morning, Greg.
Good to have you on the show. Oh, it is as close as it appears. I only messed. Just shoved the camera in his face here.
I have to take your word for it now, anyway.
Don't hide behind that mic, Sock. We want to see those young looks of yours. Right, okay. Working Holiday Camp launch. Talk to me about this.
Yes, the 2023 Working Holiday in Donegal campaign launched in GTA Kerrygert last Tuesday will run until the end of October. This initiative will aim to provide opportunities for people to enjoy everything that Donegal has to offer and spend more time with family and friends. So it's a bit of the blended working angle, Greg. Anyone who wishes to avail of the free working holiday voucher, log on to donegal.ie/workhalldl.
Yeah, okay, good stuff. 35th Theragle Arts Festival, just around the corner now.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it. It's going that long, Greg. The launch of the 35th Theragle Arts Festival takes place this Friday, June the 23rd at 5:30 p.m. at K2 Kinnegar Brewery, and that's located at Ballyreen Industrial Street here in Letterkenny. This year's festival programme will be officially unveiled by the new Cathaoirle of Letterkenny Mulford Municipal District, Councillor Kevin Bradley. I've spoken to Paul Brown, the CEO and Artistic Director of the Theragle Arts Festival, last year, Greg, for the podcast, and during our conversation, he would have told me that that event generates around €1.5 million annually to the local economy. So it's a good earner.
Yeah, really significant too. Great to see two of our women recognised.
Yes, two Donegal women who are both former journalists have scooped awards in recent days. Joanne Swinney, formerly of this parish, a digital marketing consultant and author of Public Sector Marketing Pro, was named Established Businesswoman of the Year for 2023 in her adopted county of Galway. Joanne now goes forward to represent Network Ireland Galway branch at the national finals in September that are being sponsored by AIB. And meanwhile, Letterkenny based business Pumpskins, which was founded by ex-Donegal reporter Catherine Devine, was selected as the Republic of Ireland winner in the Yes You Can pitching competition at the All-Ireland Entrepreneurs Conference presented by Women in Business. Pumpskins makes silicon gel covers for diabetes equipment, such as insulin pumps, glucose monitoring systems, and has distribution partnerships in 16 countries. We would have had both ladies on the programme in the past, Greg. They're both doing extremely well and both very talented journalists in their own right as well, so good luck to them.
Well done to both. Right now, and I'm talking to you, Inishowen Lotto winner, if you have 1.45 million euro of loose change rattling in your pocket, what's up for grabs, Kieran?
Yeah, Clara House in Remelton is the latest big property to go on the market, Greg. It's on the market, as you say, for 1.45 million. Built on a 23-acre site, it has 9 bedrooms, numerous reception rooms, and an overall area of 7,700 square feet.
I'd be tempted. Do you think you get planning permission for an extension, though? Because I like even numbers, and I'd like to bump that up to 12 rooms.
You could dig down. Also, you could dig down one, maybe under.
Numerous reception rooms, yeah. 3, 4, 5. I need to know numbers before I commit.
Well, listen, if you're contact Sherry Fitzgerald and property partners Paul Reynolds, they're both looking after it. They'll keep you in the loop.
And there's money in this country. What is it? 141 billion euro in household savings. Kieran, 141 billion in household savings. So there's money out there. Right, okay, Rethink Money. What's this about?
Yes, Rethink Money Limited, which was set up by Letterkenny man Sean McNulty, has created Ireland's first piece of digital financial advice software. And Sean hopes that will change consumers and how consumers receive their financial advice. Rethink Money is described as the financial advisor in your pocket. It's a simple piece of software that allows anyone at any time to receive quality financial advice, all from the comfort of their own home. We had Sean on the programme last year. It's been 9 years in the making. He's 10 years on the go and has finally gone live. So Rethink Money Limited is fully licensed by the Central Bank of Ireland. And for more information, log on to rethinkmoney.ie.
Rightio. Okay, so that's a roundup of some of the top news from the region and beyond. What's coming up on this week's podcast, Kieran?
Yeah, on this week's Business Matters, Greg, I talked to Donegal County Councillor Anthony Malloy and Brendan Bradis O'Donnell, who is a member of the Brainfield Trust. And we talk about Donegal County Council's decision to lease the former courthouse in Glendies together with its enclosed yard to the Brainfield Trust. I'll also be talking to Sean Doohan and his daughter Amy, who, along with Sean's mother Margaret, run the well-known Shamrock Lodge in Falkirk, which won Pump of the Year at the recent Highland Radio Customer Appreciation Awards. I think that was announced by yourself. So, Greg,
I was loaded. I can't remember.
No, you weren't at that stage.
I wasn't at any. Hold on a second. Now it's all right for me to joke. I was at home and in bed at 11:30.
Yeah.
So whatever about anybody else? You know, I was in here bright and early, fresh as a daisy the next morning, but I did make my own bed there with that comment, so I'm going to have to line it. Right, Kieran, go on.
So, Greg, an estimated 4.5 million euro will be spent to transform the old courthouse in Glendies into the Brainfield Centre, which is set to create up to 30 full-time jobs. I asked Councillor Malloy how important the visitor centre will be for Glendies and the surrounding areas when it's up and running.
Fantastic news for Glendies, indeed the surrounding areas, Kieran, and I was delighted to propose this project last Monday at our council meeting. And I suppose, first of all, you know, the town of Glendies here, you know, attracts very, very modest tourism, you know, and that. And so having a visitor centre like this will definitely attract a lot of visitors and tourists alike. And we all know Brian Friel of international fame. Through short storytelling and drama and that there. So definitely will have a huge impact on the town of Glendies, and it's fantastic news.
And in terms of job creation, what numbers are we talking about, Anthony?
Well, probably on completion, like the projected figures are in around 30 people at full-time employment here, you know, which is going to be a huge benefit to the area because, you know, as you know, Kieran, there's not much employment here. And so this will be a significant boost regarding employment and that. And as I said, will be a huge spin-off as well for other businesses as well.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's an incredibly historic building, but everyone might not know that history, Kieran.
Yeah, and I also spoke to Brendan Bradis O'Donnell, and he talks about the old courthouse building, which is over 150 years old.
The courthouse then is a fabulous building where the Brainfield Centre will be, because there's a big courtyard out the back as well too, and is adjacent to the St. Colin's Museum, which is hopefully going to be open now after a little hiatus as well too. Like, so that's helping the town, and when we get the Brainfield Centre going in the courthouse, structurally, Kieran, it's unbelievable for a building that's close in almost 200 years, whatever, like 150 years plus. Like, it's just fantastic. You know, there's very little structurally wrong with it, if anything at all. Like, the original windows and doors and even the cells down below are there. And that's in the plans, that they're going to be kept as well, because it is, you know, it's a very important part of it, the structure of it and the history of it. So that will be kept as part of it, with a few tweaks here and there as well too.
Like, brilliant stuff. Much more from Brendan and Anthony on the pod. We might come back to that topic. We'll talk a little bit now though about your next guests, Kieran.
Yeah, when the founder of the Shamrock Lodge in Falkirk, Jimmy Doohan, passed away in 1983, his daughter Margaret took over the running of the bar on the town's main street. 40 years on, Margaret is assisted by her son Sean and his daughter Amy. Having spent 20 years working in construction in London, Luton and Manchester, Sean is happy to be back managing the family business. In this clip, Greg, Sean recalls his decision to set up a beer garden at the back of the Shamrock Lodge 3 years ago, which was to prove crucial to the continued success of his business.
Unfortunately, 2 weeks before COVID, Mum had a stroke and I actually tore my Achilles on the same couple of days. So we were gooshed. So when the two of us were recovering, we were obviously sitting out having looking around, and whenever I was back on my feet, we decided to build the beer garden that she always wanted. And hopefully it's been going, it's been flying, and it kept us going when we did eventually get serving outside.
See, that's the insight you get into business through this podcast, little things like that. Well, it's not little, but you know what I mean, small business changes that make a big difference. You also chatted to Amy, Kieran.
Yeah. During my conversation with Amy, Greg, I asked her if she sees herself staying in the family business, which she joined at the start of the pandemic back in 2020.
Oh, I love working here. That's what people say. Would you ever go back to the shop? And I was like, yeah, I love the shop, but it's a completely different ballgame. Just be able to sit and have the crack with your customers, it's just great.
And was this something that you always wanted to do, or had you hopes and ambitions to do other things when you were at school?
Well, I wanted to be a nurse when I was at school, so that's very, very different. But no, I love it here now, yeah. And obviously, working in the pub, like, it was never something I wanted to do. But obviously with COVID, I was like, you know what, I'll give it a chance. And I love it.
Yeah, and they were worthy winners of that Highland Radio Customer Services Award. Couldn't have gone to nicer people either. The full interviews with Councillor Anthony Molloy, Brendan Braddis O'Donnell and Sean and Amy Doohan are available to download now at highlandradio.com, or you can get it on Spotify or iTunes. And Business Matters also goes out on air on Sunday evening, just after the 6 o'clock news. And if you want to contact Kieran or give feedback on the show, it's businessmatters@highlandradio.com. I just wanted to leave a bit of space for you and a recent trip in Dunfanaghy. What was going on there?
Yeah, I was down at the official opening, Greg, of Dunfanaghy Youth's FC football pitch on Horn Head. It's a great success story. It's the first time that the club has actually a venue of their own. They were 5 years without a home. 18 months ago, they acquired and got the green light to develop a site down in Dunfanaghy. And numerous people were marked last night about from nothing to this in 18 months. The official opening was carried out by Paddy Bonner. It was a huge community effort. Peter McCary and Danny Ferry would have been the main drivers there. And a very fitting decision. The club have named the park after the late Callum Freel, a young man who died, unfortunately, a young man 3 years ago. So well done to Dunfanaghy, and it was a night that will live long in the memory for everybody involved in the Chrysla and Dunfanaghy area.
Well said. Lovely tribute as well. Kieran, thank you very much indeed. Kieran back with us next Wednesday, just around about 11:30 or so. We're back with you tomorrow morning at 9.